Welcome to another Vox Talk recorded at the CEPR Annual Symposium in Paris. My name is Tim Phillips. At COPs, or the World Economic Forum, we regularly hear about ambitious tree planting initiatives. These massive programs have been praised as a way to motivate entire communities to join the fight against climate change. But they've also been criticized, not least because it's not entirely clear what their overall impact on the environment would be. An ingenious piece of research that evaluates a century-old environmental policy in the US gives us a valuable new insight into what planting trees, if done carefully, can achieve. Florian Grosset-Touba of CREST in Paris is one of the authors. When he popped down the street to the symposium to present the findings, he also took time to chat to me about it. I first asked him, if all these tree planting campaigns succeed, how much of our planet is going to have trees on it?
That's a good question. So currently we have about 4 billion hectares of the planet that is covered by forests around the world. And so if you try to look at all the commitments that governments made under the Paris Agreement, all of the governments that say that they would plant new forests, and you add all of that up, it adds up to about 500 million hectares. So it would move from 4 billion to 4.5 billion hectares of forests.
That is a lot of trees. What are the reasons why planting trees might be a good thing?
So usually policymakers, governments, businesses will give two main reasons. One is a global reason. People say that planting trees is a simple and effective way to mitigate global climate change because trees are a natural way to capture and store carbon. Now, there is also another reason, which is much more local, which is that planting trees can help to reduce soil erosion. It can help fight dust storms. And this is the reason, for instance, for massive tree planting program that we had in the past. Already in France in 1858, we had a large tree planting project for this reason, for instance.
Now, what specifically about these tree planting programs interested you?
So in our case, we wanted to look at another potentially very important consequence of planting trees on a large scale that has been less discussed in policy discussion. And this is the effect of planting trees on the regional climate.
The region you investigated is called the Great Plains Shelter Belt. I'd never heard of that. What is it? Where is it?
This was a very large-scale tree planting program in the United States that was implemented in the US Midwest. The idea was to plant a large number of trees from the border with Canada, from North Dakota, down all the way to Texas.
Wow.
Exactly. And the idea was to plant these trees to fight against the Dust Bowl that was supposed to last several years. In the end, the project was implemented in 7 years. From 1935, it started. And then in 1942, the US entered World War II, was lacking budget to expand the program even more, and so they stopped. And so all of that was done in just 7 years.
So this was something that came out of the Great Depression, and it was something that was done to improve the environment.
Exactly. We had back then a candidate for the presidential campaign, which was FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a governor of the state of New York and who really liked planting trees and had a lot of experience and interest in reforestation programs in New York State. And then on the campaign trail for the US presidency, he noticed these devastating effects from the Dust Bowl and all of the soil erosion. And he had the idea to plant a lot of trees to fight this erosion. So his initial idea, if you read some report by historians from the time, was to literally build a wall of trees from Canada down to Texas and to be like, let's stop the deserts from advancing. Of course, he commissioned a report and a lot of foresters worked on that topic. And ultimately, they decided to plant trees a little differently. So what they did is not plant a big forest, but mostly to plant windbreaks. So lines of trees around fields and around houses that would help protect from the wind and from the erosion very locally.
I'm mentally coloring in a map of the United States from Canada down to Texas. That seems like quite a lot. How big an area did these trees cover?
We have some maps of where tree planting was concentrated. And if you look at the area covered by these maps, it's about 10 million hectares. So it's like a fifth of France, for instance. But this is the area where trees were planted. But in the end, it didn't take up so much space because, as I mentioned before, there were windbreaks or lines of trees on farms and fields. And so just 1% of the area that was under the project was actually planted with trees. So it's a fairly small amount in the end of land that was used for these trees.
Now, you mentioned you were looking at maps because, of course, it happened almost a century ago, but you're an economist. You need data in digital form. Did that digital data exist?
Most of it existed already. There was one piece of data that we needed was where the trees were planted. And so we looked back at a lot of reports and archives from the time, and we found this book from Ralph Reed, who had these maps of where trees were planted. Essentially, for the West, we were very lucky. The weather data, the data on agricultural outcomes, which is what we look at. We have very good census data from the US, agricultural censuses, conducted every 5 years. And a team of researchers digitized them and put them online in 2017, for instance. So we could just take off the shelves most of the data already digitized.
Okay, so tell me, what was the impact of this wall of trees on the local climate? I suppose I must say the local climates.
What we look at in the first stage is to look at how planting these trees will affect the climate. And then we look at how this affects the economy. And so in the first stage, to look at how trees affect the climate, or what natural scientists tell us is that when you plant trees locally, this can affect the climate locally where the trees are planted, but also downwind. Essentially, the trees will release some water in the atmosphere. This will travel with the wind, with the clouds, and it will rain somewhere else downwind. It has a very strong effect on rainfall and temperature. And it especially has a stronger effect on extreme events, for instance, on extreme temperatures.
Okay, so how big is that effect from something like this?
For instance, if you look at these extreme temperature events, so we compare different counties in the US that are more or less exposed to winds that are blowing from the shelter belt. And so if you move from the 25th percentile to the 75th percentile, relatively little exposure to wind to relatively high exposure to wind blowing from the shelter belt, you have a decrease in these extreme temperatures by about 7%.
That's huge, isn't it?
It's pretty important, and especially when we look at the effect it has on economic outcomes, we find that farmers do respond very strongly to this change in the climate.
Right, yes, because you also looked at the effect on farmers and the livelihoods of farmers. If you're measuring this, there's a lot going on in the middle of the last century that affected agriculture. How easy was it to single out the effect of the shelter belt?
Yes, of course. As you mentioned, many things were happening in this period. And so this is why we really use the exposure to the shelter belt through the wind.
Right.
Because we can compare essentially two counties that are very close to each other, that are very similar, that started with the same climate, that were exposed or not to the dust bowl in the same way at the beginning of the period. But then one of them just happened to be down the wind from where the trees were planted. The other did not. And so we can compare these two places and see how their climate and their economic outcomes then would change over time. And so it's fairly unlikely that for other types of agricultural innovation, for instance, or the introduction of tractors, like why would you have more tractors or less in places downwind or not, if it's not because these trees are planted and the climate actually changed?
What effect did it have, Florian? Did it affect the yields? Did it affect the profitability of farms?
It affected many things. The first thing we look at is the production of corn, which was the most important crop grown in the US Midwest, in both value and volume. And there we find a very strong increase. We find a 30% increase in the production of corn for counties exposed to these winds relative to the other counties that are less exposed to the winds. And what we find is that this increase in the production of corn, there is a little bit of an increase in the productivity, but most of it is an increase in the area harvested of corn. So essentially, the farmers, they witnessed this change in the climate, and then they decided to reallocate the land. They were growing less wheat, which requires less water, which is more resistant. Now you have more water falling, you have lower temperature. So now you can switch to corn, which requires more water and is a bit more sensible.
And did that make a difference to the viability of the farms, the lives that these farmers were living, which was very difficult at that time?
Yes. So this is a very interesting and somewhat unexpected result, we found. As you mentioned, this was a period post-World War II in the US where many firms, especially the small firms, were getting bankrupt and were consolidated into larger firms. And so what we find is that in these places that benefit from the improved climate, because the trees were planted upwind, in these places, small farms tend to survive more. But interestingly, we also have some data on the value of these farms, and we find a reduction in the value of these farms.
A reduction
in the value of the farms.
Why?
And what seems to happen, given the data we have, is these smaller farms, essentially, they use less machines on their fields because they don't reach the scale that you would need to be very productive. And so you have a lot of these small, relatively unproductive farms that are now staying on the market, and so their value ends up being lower, ultimately.
So it was good for some of those small farmers who could stay on their land. If you looked at it in the aggregate sense, it probably wasn't good for the overall productivity of agriculture.
Exactly. So it depends a little bit of what you actually care about, whether it's the value of the land or whether it's maintaining some smallholder farmers and some local laborers, for instance.
So this is a fascinating historical story, but I imagine that you did not investigate this just for the history. What can policymakers in 2025 learn from the impact of the wall of trees?
This is a very legitimate question. And as you mentioned, the inspiration for the project was all of these tree planting programs that are currently being implemented. I would say that the basic physical forces that we study and that has been studied before on how tree planting can change the local climate, this is likely to hold in many different contexts. Now, the biggest question is about this economic impact, the impact of agricultural development. Should we expect something similar or not to happen in other places? Well, one thing that is interesting is that if you look at the characteristics of the US Midwest in the 1940s, it's actually relatively similar to many regions in the world now where other large-scale tree planting programs are being implemented, like in Mexico or China. A very high reliance on agriculture for production and for employment, also similar soil types. And so we can think that there can be some parallels to be made. But I want to be very careful because one thing we find is this very important role of adaptation. The fact that farmers responded and changed what they were growing and how, this is what is driving most of our effects. And so how would farmers in Pakistan or Mexico today respond to a change in the climate depend a lot on the type of crops that is available, on the availability and whether they want to use pesticides or not, fertilizers. So there are a lot of other things that are important to study and that should be taken into consideration. So I would say people will most likely respond to that change in the climate. That's what we show. What will be the exact consequences needs to be determined locally.
It's very important not to engineer the climate first and then think, okay, what do we do to help these farmers afterwards?
Exactly. This is something very important to take into account.
Now, these tree planting programs that I mentioned at the beginning, they're often criticized for not being very well thought through, certainly at a local level. It seems from your description of the Great Plains Shelter Belt that they took a lot of care in doing this with respect to the environment and the people who were living on the land. What aspects of that do you think were particularly positive and meant that they had the positive outcomes that they did?
I will mention two things. The first one is the extensive forestry research that was conducted and involved in choosing which species of trees to grow, to plant, and where to plant them and how to do that.
Right.
So you had a strong care given to only planting either native species or species that would most likely survive, to have a mix of species being planted together so that if you have a pest or a given weather event that would kill a given species of trees, some other trees would still be there and would subsist and the entire thing wouldn't be wiped out.
Yes, because some of the criticism at the moment is either introducing a monoculture by just planting thousands of the same type of tree or not planting the right trees for the land on which they're planted.
Exactly. And that is my second point. Unlike other programs that are currently implemented where people are paid to plant trees, in this case, people were not being paid to plant trees on their land. So they had no incentives to deforest existing forests, even though there was very little at the time, but more that no incentive to convert land to forest in a way that was not good for them, because the government would provide the trees for free. They would plant the tree for free on your farm, But then you would have to care for that, and you would sign a contract with the federal government whereby you would commit to caring for the trees and to help them grow and be sustained. And so essentially, the program was asking some effort from the farmers. And so it's likely that the people who decided to enroll in the program and to have trees planted on their land actually wanted them and knew they would benefit from them.
Okay, so let's be optimistic about this and imagine that policy was done well. It was done right and carefully. What is the potential positive local regional outcomes from a tree planting program like this?
So I guess the first thing that our research shows is that planting trees in a successful manner will improve the climate for agricultural conditions. Very importantly, also in other places, and this effect extends up to 200 kilometers away. And then that can help the farmers or more broadly the local populations to adapt and to respond to this relative improvement in the climate. This spatial distribution of the potential outcomes is something that should be considered carefully by policymakers when they plant trees. We know that when you plant trees, you can have positive effects downwind. And so you could think about being a little bit strategic and deciding where you want to have plant the trees to have these positive effects downwind later to maximize these benefits, essentially.
Let's hope that the policymakers are listening. Florian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper is called Rain Follows the Forest: Land Use Policy, Climate Change, and Adaptation. The authors are Florian Grosse-Touba, Anna Papp, and Charles Taylor.
Next on Vox Talks Economics, we'll be discussing who should work and how much.